Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. The impeachment trial of President Trump continues today. NPR special coverage, which you will hear on Cap Radio, begins after Insight. We are going to get an important compass reading on this year's presidential race Monday night at the Iowa caucuses. It is the first statewide contest of the election year. And to get a sense of it all, here is a clip from the podcast Caucus Land, which is produced by Iowa Public Radio.
Every 4 years, people basically have to relearn how the Iowa caucuses even work. Not to beat a dead horse here, but remember, this isn't voting. People are showing up with their neighbors in high school gyms and church basements. They're actually standing in the corner of the candidate they support.
In some of these precincts, there's hundreds of people, and they're arguing and bartering, and then they're all counted up, and the totals are run through this mathematical formula. And there's all these rules, and it's confusing. Sometimes I don't get it. Some of the people in charge of these precincts can get it mixed up, too.
To do this math is just insane. The flowchart boggles the mind.
That's John Green, who will be running a caucus in the city of Lone Tree. It's about 17 miles from Iowa City.
Yeah, I'm, let's say, a wee bit concerned. It's like Rube Goldberg comes along and he looks at the Iowa caucus and he's like, "Whoa, wow."
Do you know who Rube Goldberg is? He looks at something simple and then creates or cartoons something very complex and complicated. So I can ask the podcast co-host and reporter more about that. She is Kate Payne from Iowa Public Radio, and she is joining us from Iowa City. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Glad to have you with us today. So a caucus can seem mysterious, especially if you come from a state that has a primary and cast traditional ballots. So what do you think about that Rube Goldberg reference?
It cracked me up, honestly. And it is hard sometimes for people, as you said, who are outside of the caucus system to see, you know, hundreds, maybe 1,000 people, you know, walking across a gymnasium and yelling, you know, for one candidate and another. And there's a question of what is really going on there. Caucuses it's a very different process. There's no voting booths. There's no ballots for the Iowa Democratic caucuses, at least. It really is a party meeting where Iowans are debating back and forth and physically standing in their candidate's corner. So the dynamics here can be really different as people make those decisions.
Do you say caucus or caucuses? When is each word used?
So it's an individual caucus. Caucus is plural. Sometimes it is referred to as the Iowa caucus. I feel like Iowa caucuses is more correct, though, because there's 1,600 some of them across the state.
And what's the timing Monday for when the meeting happens and then the decision making when the meeting ends?
So it's all across the state. Folks have to be standing in line to get into their caucus site by 7 p.m. Central Time on Monday night. Now, there will be some satellite caucuses for folks who can't get to their regular caucus. Some of those locations will be at different times for night shift workers at hospitals, for instance. But by and large, everyone has to be there at their site at 7 p.m. in order to participate. And then it really depends. Caucus to caucus, how long that process can take. You know, in some of the more rural parts of the state, there may just be a couple dozen people there. And if folks have their minds made up, you know, they can get in, make their say, and go home. In some of the larger sites where there will be hundreds of people, it could be a couple hours for folks to get in their corner and bang it all out.
Kate, why does Iowa still caucus? And who would make the decision to change that? The legislature? The state lawmakers?
So, a lot to unpack there. Yeah. Historically, Iowa has always caucused. There's 1 year when they didn't, but otherwise, dating back to before Iowa was a state, Iowans were caucusing at a much different scale than they do today. You know, it really did start in people's private homes and living rooms. And now today, you know, again, in some of these large precincts to hundreds of people who are trying to participate. But the process of caucusing is deeply ingrained into Iowa's state parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. So they take this very seriously. And especially in the more rural parts of the state, this process is still seen as one of the best ways to get Iowans involved in local politics, to debate not just candidates, but also party platforms and positions. So they do take that very seriously. As far as the pressure to move Iowa with the rest of the country to a primary, there is pressure from national Democrats, from the Democratic National Committee. The Republicans in Iowa do not face that same pressure. There isn't that same urge to move towards a more open and transparent and accessible process in the way that the Democrats are under that pressure. But as you mentioned, the Iowa caucuses, Iowa being first, that is all written out in state law. So if there was a point in time when real structural changes would be made to the Iowa caucuses and to Iowa being first, that would have to be addressed by the state legislature, which today is controlled by the Republican Party. And again, they're not inclined to give up Iowa being first or the caucus process itself.
Say something more, though, about what Republicans will do Monday compared to Democrats, because as you already said, it's a different process for each party.
Yes, it is a different process. So whereas the Democrats will go into those gymnasiums and church basements and, you know, get into their separate corners, the Republicans do express their preference on a secret ballot. It's basically just a blank piece of paper that folks will write down their preferred candidate on, and those are tallied up and the results are announced and then sent in to the party headquarters. So it's still the process of people having to physically go to their local party meeting in order to have their say, but there isn't the same sort of debate back and forth that's happening in the Republican caucus. It's really just a secret ballot. I will say the Iowa Republican Party and the Iowa Democratic Party are really united around the Iowa caucuses. It's one of the few things that they really agree on. But whereas other states, other Republican parties have decided to skip their primary process and just support the president all the way, the Iowa Republican Party felt it was very important to go through the motions at the very least in order to assert their status as Iowa being first. It's very important for them to hold on to that. So where Iowa Republicans, you know, from the leadership on down are incredibly united behind the president, they do want to still go through, do the process, meet in their local meetings and hash it out.
You're listening to Kate Payne. She's talking with us from Iowa City. She is co-host and reporter for Iowa Public Radio's podcast Caucus Land. With what you just said, Kate, these days and weeks leading up to Monday, months perhaps, are intense anyway. But with the Senate impeachment trial underway, how is this year different? And what's the craziest schedule you've heard about in the last couple of days?
So it's definitely not what the U.S. senators running for the nomination would have intended. You know, no one really expected for this to shake out this way, where the U.S. senators, you know, are duty bound to be in D.C. for these hearings. Not what they intended at all. But we are seeing particularly those U.S. senators sending out surrogates. You know, Elizabeth Warren is sending her husband, also their dog, to come out and campaign for her. We did see Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota earlier this week was able to carve out the time. She was in D.C., finished the hearings that night, immediately got on the plane, flew out to Iowa, you know, wound up in a bar, held an event, and then flew back for the hearings the next day. So they really, any way that they can, they're trying to make their voices heard. They're also holding sort of teleconferences, town halls for Iowans to call in. So really coming up with different creative ways to try and get their names at the top of Iowans' minds, even when they're still in D.C.
Do you have any sense of whether the candidates who aren't senators and can continue to campaign there have any kind of an edge. There was so much of this talked about ahead of time with the trial pulling the senators in and out of the state.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So Iowa, historically, it is a state that values those interpersonal interactions from candidates. You know, Iowans really do want to see, the most active Iowans really do want to see these folks multiple times in person at events across the state. And so to not, for a candidate to not be here physically in the state in these last days, that's tough. It's not what they wanted, certainly. And so we do see former Vice President Joe Biden, former South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, entrepreneur Andrew Yang, billionaire Tom Steyer, they are all packing their schedules in the state, sort of crisscrossing, trying to get that time in, getting that face time in front of Iowans while they can. But, you know, it should be said, many of these candidates have spent months working on a year for some of them, building out their organizations in the state. They've been coming to Iowa for months. So when you go out and talk to some Iowans, you know, will it make that much of a difference? It's up for debate. They've seen these folks. They know who they are. It's really up to individuals to make their decision now.
How are Iowans taking to the one Californian in the mix, Tom Steyer? What kind of reaction is he getting?
So it's been somewhat of a mix. Iowans do want to give these candidates their chance. There's certainly a sort of culture of, you know, let the folks have their say, you know, when they come to the state, which Tom Steyer certainly has been coming to campaign here. That being said, there's sort of a mixture of somewhat annoyance as far as the incredible amount of money that Steyer has spent on fundraising, on television ads in the state, also mailers going out in people's mailboxes all the time. So some folks are a little annoyed. Others are deeply troubled, actually, by the amount of money that he's spent here in the race. And there is a sense from some Iowans that it's his money that is getting him on the debate stage when they would have rather had seen some of the other candidates stay in the race longer but had to drop out because they couldn't fundraise. So there are questions there for some of them of what's really helping these candidates stay in the race or not.
I want to get back to the podcast, Kate, and we're going to hear a clip that references some changes in the caucus process that had to be made after 2016. In this clip, we're going to hear Judy Downs. So who is she?
So she is with the Polk County Democrats. So that's the state's largest county where Des Moines is. And it's been on her to really go out and educate Iowans on some of the changes that are coming down. Every year, Iowa caucus goers have to sort of remind themselves because there are so many rules and so many steps to this process. But this year, there are some major changes, both with how Iowans will move through showing their support for candidates and also to what results will be released when caucus night wraps up.
All right, let's listen to this clip from Caucus Land.
After 2016, there were some close calls. Some of these precincts were decided by a coin toss. There were some hard feelings from supporters of Senator Bernie Sanders, who narrowly lost the caucuses. And there was no way for the party to do a recount. Downs has to remind everyone at the table why there are changes.
After 2016, the DNC said if you want to keep the caucuses, you need to figure out a way to do a recount.
Okay. So that feeds us right into what some of those changes are. How is the state going to do a recount if needed?
So this year, for the first time, there will be what the party is calling presidential preference cards. So for our friends in New Hampshire, these are not ballots, state leaders would have you know, because Iowa does not have a primary. You know, it is a caucus. But these are basically pieces of paper that Iowans will be able to physically write down the name of their candidate on and then hand them in at the end of the night. So the party will be able to go back, reference all of these thousands of cards that come in all across the state in case a recount is needed. Because again, in the past, these decisions are being played out physically in thousands of rooms across the state. There is no way in the past, there is no way to recreate that in the event of a recount.
Right,
In 2016, such a close race.
Okay, so there are a few other changes. There's going to be a lot happening Monday night. You know, Iowa has this history of either predicting or not predicting the eventual party nominee. Can you just give me a summary of that history and what kind of expectation there is based on the polls right now?
Yeah, so as far as the candidates that come out of Iowa, the Iowa Democratic Party has actually had a better track record of choosing the candidate who goes on to be the nominee than the Republican Party. But certainly defenders of the Iowa caucus will say Iowa's process is to winnow the field. After the Iowa caucuses, folks will have a better idea of who won't be president because historically those candidates drop out immediately after the Iowa caucuses. There are questions this year about how that may change because the Iowa Democratic Party will be releasing three sets of results where historically they just released one. In the past, the state party just released the state delegates. So how many delegates each candidate won to then go on to each level of convention. But this year, we will actually get the raw numbers of how many people walked into the room supporting each individual
wow.
candidate. Yeah, so
we're back
you can
to
sort
Rube
of
Goldberg now.
Yeah, so you can sort of think of it as Iowa's own version of the Electoral College, where you have the delegates and then you have the actual raw vote numbers. And what's going to be really interesting if those two numbers are different. If one candidate wins the most total supporters, but another candidate wins the most actual delegates, you can bet that candidates will be breaking down all of those results and spinning them in whatever way advantages them.
Sounds like Iowa's version of the 2016 national presidential race, right?
So there's the potential for that.
Yeah. So we'll check in with you at this point today. Who's leading the polls in Iowa? And I know there are two different polls, so there might be two different answers.
Sure. So right now I'm looking at the Real Clear Politics polling average of Iowa polls, and it's Sanders is up right now at about just under 24 points, then Biden, Buttigieg, and Warren. But we should say polls can change on a dime in Iowa. The poll that many Iowans and Iowa watchers will be looking for is the Des Moines Register Iowa poll that'll come out this Saturday. And so that is considered the gold standard of polling in the state. And each of those top four candidates have been leading in that Iowa poll at one stage or another in the race. But folks will be waiting with bated breath to see what that last Iowa poll tells us just days before caucus night.
Kate, thank you for the time and the caucus lesson and the terrific podcast by you and Clay Masters and Iowa Public Radio. I appreciate that you joined us today, and we'll look ahead with a little bit more information about what's coming Monday night.
Thanks.
All right, that was Kate Payne, and we've posted a link to the podcast series Caucus Land. You can find that at capradio.org. Up next, some terrific live classical concerts that you can roll into your springtime calendar. There's even one tonight at Sac State, if you're up for it. Music professor Andy Luchansky will preview the new Millennium Concert Series in Sound Advice. That's coming up next, and you're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.